This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will bless you. Now, again, if you want to contact me, you can do so through regular mail or through my website, and I'll give you both of those addresses at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on my website, and there's a lot of other information on the website that you might find helpful. So if you would like to get my weekly meditations off the website or contact me through it or contact me by regular mail, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write the addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we're continuing our study of the miracles of the Lord Jesus. And we're doing that, as we said, because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And while many people look at faith in a very generic way, saying, I know God listens, I know God hears, and while that's true, when it comes to our relationship with God, it has to be more personal than that. And we have to have a promise of God that we are right with God, in my opinion. And the best way to do that is to have confidence in the Bible, and to listen to what God says in the Bible. For example, the Bible says that Christ died for the ungodly. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man would some even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's a promise you can take to the bank. It's Romans 5, 6 through 8. And we can depend on that promise. But why should we depend on that promise? Well, the reason we should depend on that promise is because of the evidence God has given us that the Lord is the Son of God, and that, in fact, the Bible is the message that the Lord wants conveyed to us. And so, if our faith is going to come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, we need to have confidence that we are listening to the very Word of God and not to the word of man, and I think we find that in the Bible. Now, I want to look at the seventh and the eighth miracle that the Lord did. I'm taking these miracles in the order that's been given to me by many people who have studied them and through their commentaries, because I have to admit that in reading the Bible without outside help, I would not know what order these miracles occurred in. And it's not all that important to know what order they occurred in. We know that some of them occurred in such a way that we know when they occurred. The first miracle in Cana of Galilee, we're told in John 2, that was the beginning of his miracles, the beginning of the signs that he did. But now, when we come to the miracles today, we're going to find that the Lord has been in a mountain, and he's been telling the people what the principles of the kingdom are. That's the what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And then he comes down from the mountain. And when he comes down from the mountain, it's almost like he's leaving the rarefied beauty of the heavenly scene and having come back down to earth and face the problems on earth. And when he came down from the mountain, I'm going to read then from Matthew chapter 8. When he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, as I look at this miracle, I realize that the miracle itself actually happened, but there is some spiritual teaching for us here. When we begin to look at leprosy in the Bible, it speaks of the nature of sin and how it spreads throughout a person's life and body if it's not contained and if it's not brought under control. Now, leprosy could be cleansed, and sometimes it was, but oftentimes leprosy was hidden by the people who were lepers. And because whatever this leprosy was, whatever this skin disease was in the Old Testament, it was very contagious, and a person who had it was supposed to be put outside the camp, and he was supposed to put his finger on his lips and cry, unclean, unclean. And so a leper was an unclean person, and he had to be isolated from those who were clean so that he wouldn't give his disease to them. And God often uses separation as a means of keeping his own people holy. And when we violate the principles of separation, we often find ourselves becoming like the people who have leprosy and getting their leprosy, in other words, partaking of their sins rather than them becoming more like us and more holy. Today, there's a tendency on the part of the religious world to try to make the religious world holy through politics and through outside conforming pressure, and it just doesn't work that way. The only way the world will become more Christ-like, and the only way leprosy will be dealt with is if we separate from those who are involved in and who are spreading the leprosy, and if we then have used the power of the gospel to cleanse those who are leprous, to cleanse them from their leprosy. Now, as we look at this leper then, he had come and he worshiped the Lord. He had already had faith in the Lord, obviously. And I like the fact that, well, I don't like it really, but I noticed that there was a whole multitude that came down from the mountain. And in that multitude, there were likely a lot of sick people. But, or people, they weren't so sick they couldn't be with the Lord in the mountain, but they were likely sick people. And some of them likely were lepers, because we know that the Lord went and ate with a leper. And one thing that in Luke 7, I think where it talks about that, we could assume that perhaps the leprosy was under control, that is, maybe he had been cleansed of it, and so he was known as a leper only because he had once had it. But I suspect he was a leper who was hiding it under his clothing and was not telling others about it. But I could be wrong on that. But there were people who did hide their leprosy. And so while there were multitudes that came down from that mountain, there was only one leper who came and asked for healing. And I just am reminded of Luke chapter, or Matthew chapter 7, where it says that we are to enter in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And while we know that the Lord is available to all, both in a spiritual way and in this case in a physical way, there's only a few that take advantage of what he is offering. There's only a few that realize that they are sick with a spiritual leprosy called sin, and that they need to come to the Lord for salvation. But when they come, oftentimes there are people who think that their sins are so bad that the Lord won't receive them. And so you'll notice this leper said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing." And there's many people who would like to be saved, and they're just not sure that the Lord wants to save them. In some cases, they feel that they have done things that are so bad that they cannot be forgiven of those sins. But the Lord, but this man said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And obviously the man wanted to be cleansed. And Jesus put out his hand, touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And I believe that that's the Lord's attitude whenever we come to him for cleansing. I'm not convinced in my own mind that we can come in a spiritual way to a Lord that's now in heaven and get leprosy physically healed. But I am convinced that the Lord in heaven is saying that, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And those who are drawn in simple trusting faith and who believe on him and put their faith in him, they can be healed spiritually. They can be forgiven. The Lord even forgave those who crucified him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He forgave a thief on the cross who couldn't make amends for the wrong he had done. And he turned to the Lord in Luke 23 and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Lord said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And what a blessing that must have been for a man who was dying on the cross to realize that in just a few hours, this day, he would move from a situation of pain and agony and torment that he himself knew he deserved to the blessing of paradise, a place of bliss. And so, remember this, the Lord is willing. He wants to save. He wants to cleanse us from our sin. Now the question is, do you want to be saved? Now he was told not to go and tell others until he had gone and showed himself to the priest. And the reason for that in this instance was that it was the priest in the Jewish economy, which would be the Old Testament instructions, it was the priest who was able to pronounce a leper cleansed. He was given the tools to do that, to tell whether the leprosy was continuing to spread or whether the leprosy had been come to a point where it could be considered, where the person could be considered clean. So the priest had the ability to pronounce a person cleansed. I find it interesting that it was a priest, since this does represent a spiritual problem. But the priest was like the doctor, and the doctor can look at a person's blemish on his arm or foot or leg and say, oh, that's just an age spot. Or he can look at it and you can say, oh, that's a precancerous lesion, but I can take care of it. Or he can say, that's cancer and it's going to spread. Well, much like a doctor would be able to discern the differences between different cancers and perhaps even in a physical way between different kinds of leprosy, the priest was the one who could discern that with regard to leprosy. And so in sending this man to the priest and having him say, tell no one, in other words, don't go and say you're cleansed until the priest says you're cleansed, it proved that this was a real miracle and not just something that the Lord had worked out with this man in order to make it appear that he was doing miracles. In other words, he was not deceiving the people when he said that the man was cleansed, because this man was cleansed, but it would take the priest to prove that he was cleansed. And so we, as we look at the spiritual significance of that, we know that we too can be cleansed, but it's really the Lord and the Lord only that knows whether our hearts are right with God. We know that we show our faith in Christ by our works, and some of us don't do a very good job of doing that, but our relationship is personal with God. But we remember that God knows whether you have trusted him. The Lord Jesus really knows whether you have trusted him. And if you have, you have been cleansed. And I want you to remember these words, I will be cleansed. Now, I was also going to look at the next miracle where the Lord heals a centurion's paralyzed servant, but we'll try to do that next time. So remember, you can be cleansed spiritually of your sin, and if you think the Lord doesn't want to cleanse you, you're wrong. He does. That's why he died at the cross. And so those words, I am willing, be cleansed, I hope, will be something that sticks in your mind if you're not really saved and sure of it. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.